If you have your scriptures this morning, if you would find the book of Matthew. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. If you do not have a scripture with you, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. A black hardcover book. Please make yourself available to that. Maybe somebody will see you do not have one and hand it to you. We do that because we love you and want you to be able to follow along with the Word of God as the message is given. Matthew chapter number 1. Give you just a minute to find the scripture there. Does a preacher's heart to hear those good to hear those pages rustle. And I thank you so much for caring enough to find in the scripture. When you found the first chapter of the book of Matthew, if you would find the 18th verse, we'll begin our reading there. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." I love that phrase in the Bible. I love the authority of the Word of God. Do not you love the authority of the Word of God? In a society today where everything is questioned and everything is reduced to try to do away with absolute truth and to try to give answers to questions that do not exist, and with the removal of all that is godly about Christmas, the Bible reduces everything down to, if you want to know what it was all about, the Bible knows the truth. I'm reminded of another great verse that carries that authority. In the beginning, finish it, God created the heaven and the earth. I love the authority of the Word of God. Matthew writes here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." This is how it happened. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. A Jewish traditional marriage had phases in it. There were three phases. Most of the time, they were arranged marriages. The husband did not know the bride. Some of you have had arranged marriages. I know that because you've sat down and shared with me your custom and your father, which I do like choosing a bride from or a husband for my three girls. I got to admit, the thought of that does sound pretty good. Say, "Pastor, is my son on your list?" No, but my son's not on your list either. They would arrange those marriages. And so the betrothal period, the espousal period, was a time where there was a getting to know one another. There were rights and there was agreement there, but there was no intimacy in the marriage. You were not given the sexual intimacy of marriage. And so it's that point of time where she is found with child of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Verse 21 brings us to our text this morning. It is the great Christmas announcement. It is the great hope of salvation. It is the rock upon which we place our faith. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And let the redeemed say so. I want to speak to you just a moment on the grand announcement. Do you know Jesus Christ today? Then I know in your heart there rings a melody. In your heart the song may say, "Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation, full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This my song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves." I thank God for the salvation in the person of Christ. You may be here today and you do not know what we are talking about. You have never been born again into the kingdom of God. You do not understand the freedom that is in the person of Christ. Today, your world is not full and free. It's tight and it's bound. May I make an announcement to you? You have come to the right place today. Not because we're a good church. Not because we're good people. Not because, well, sort of because they have a good pastor, but not totally because of that. But because we have the eternal Word of God. So we know the way to salvation. You're among friends today. You're among people who love you. You're among people who've prayed for you. I hope and pray you know the very peace and comfort of the Lord Jesus today. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Something beautiful about the name Jesus. The songwriter said that beautiful name from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. Another songwriter said, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Today, you do not name your child Jesus. If you hear somebody and they were to walk in and introduce themselves as Jesus, it would fall uncomfortably on our ears. Jesus would fall a little bit uncomfortably on our ears. But back in Bible days, the name Jesus was absolutely a very common name. It was the name Joseph or Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament. Many Hebrew boys went around and had the name Jesus. Pastor, are we talking today and are we glorifying today just a common man? Oh, Matthew, the Levi, would not let us go that route. Would you please look at verse number 16? He makes clear distinction about this Jesus that will be born unto Mary. And he says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called, say it, church, Christ. The Messiah, the Anointed One. There's nothing common about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think about that. God incarnate in human flesh, yet in all of his humility, the Bible says the common man heard him gladly. Oh, we're not talking about just an ordinary man. We're talking about the God man. We're talking about a man not half God and half man, not a freak of some kind of natural explosion. All God, all man, the perfect blending of the God man in the person of Jesus Christ. No wonder we sing glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus, so sweet. Abides within there at the cross where he took me in. Let me tell you, my friend, it's a name that's been exalted by his heavenly Father. It's a precious name. Listen to what God himself did with the name of Christ. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, we've reduced Christmas, and there's nothing wrong with that. We do celebrate the birth of a little baby, and we do celebrate the stable, and we do celebrate Bethlehem, and we do celebrate the manger, and we do celebrate the rejection of Jesus Christ by the innkeeper. We celebrate those things because they were the fulfillment of the years of prophecy given by God's men and by God's word. That's important to me as a Bible-believing man. I want to know that thus saith the Lord is true. Amen. And so we celebrate those things, but make no bones about it. The absolute adoration of that night was the person of Jesus Christ becoming a man. It's a marvelous name, the name of Jesus, and we can celebrate it. But my friend, there's more than celebration due to the name of Jesus. There's submission to that name. You see, we don't like submission. We enjoy celebration. But submission means that I set aside my own will and I yield myself to something. Submission is, here's my guns, here's my sword, here's my volunteer laying down of my life. That's what's required about the name of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who was Saul, the great murderer on the Damascus Road. You remember, the Lord Jesus comes, knocks him off on the ground in blindness. And Paul says, who's there? He says, it's Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Saul's question there is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so we bring now to the focus of Christmas time. We bring now all the celebration and all the lights. We better reduce that down. For unto us is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Marvelous name. the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at this announcement and I want to show you four things about the great salvation that is found in Christ. And I want to stir your soul today to the fact that you do not leave here lost. If you know Christ, you will rejoice. First thing I see in the phrase, "For he shall save his people from their sins," is the person of salvation. You say, "Pastor, salvation involves a person?" My friends, there is no salvation without a person. "Well, I thought I could work my way to heaven." No, it's not by works which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people get confused and try to work their way into heaven. Would you listen to what the scripture says? It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You say, "Pastor, I don't like one way. I don't like one way streets. I can't tell you how many times I almost lost my life in New York City trying to cross those one way streets." We live in America, Pastor. The land of the free, home of the brave. We live in the immigrated land that makes America great. And we have different customs. And everybody kind of does what they think. And there's inclusion and there's tolerating. And so it's just fine. You mean that there's only one way to salvation? We don't like one way. Reminds me of a story I heard. We understand only one person being able to do something. Man didn't like to fly. I know we have numerous pilots in here, forgive me. Man didn't like to fly. Scared, terrified, wouldn't get on the plane. One day his friend wanted to take him across seas for a vacation and begged him. "Would you please get on the airplane? Little babies get on the airplane. Older, why would you not get on the airplane?" He said, "When it's your time to go, it's your time to go." Man sat there and thought just a moment. He said, I agree with everything you said. He said, "I would love to go over there." And he says, "I do know that when it's my time, it's my time." He said, "But I cannot release this thought. What happens if I'm cruising at 34,000 feet altitude and it's the pilot's turn to go?" See, we understand only one person being able to do something. Where we get bogged down is the submission of our will. It is extremely difficult to lay my will down at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to face my sin, to know him as the great Savior, and say, "Here am I, God." Say, "Pastor, is there only one person?" It's declared by God. Listen to what God himself said. He said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God the Father declared salvation in Christ. Jesus himself declared it. Jesus in John 14:6 said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, as I was studying that, I imagined something. I could just see the Lord Jesus walking on the earth today. Some people say, "Why did the Lord Jesus go back to heaven? Why doesn't he walk on the earth today?" Surely people would be saved if the Lord Jesus was in front of us. Then I began to watch the news. And I could just see them invite the Lord Jesus in to be interviewed on TV. Could you not see that? The commercial would say something like this: "Man thinks he's the only way to salvation." Could you not see them begin to mock him? Could you not see him say, "Aren't you presumptuous, sir? I mean, that's pretty bold to say that only salvation is in you. I mean, this is America. Are you saying that you are the only way?" Yes, ma'am. "How could you be so bold? What about somebody who's never done anything wrong? What about some good people? Are you saying that people must be born again? What about the person who just believes with all their heart?" Could you not see how they would begin to ridicule him and demean him and mock him? My friends, listen to me. With all authority of heaven, Jesus is the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Jesus declared it. The prophets declared it all through the scripture. John the Baptist. Jesus said, "None greater born of woman than that man." My God, that what a testimony. Listen to what John the Baptist said. He said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and the great man, no man ever greater born of woman, paused, stopped everything, and saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" My friends, there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. For Jesus shall save his people from their sin. Person of salvation. And by the way, he's a lovely person. Sweetest name I know. Power of salvation follows in that statement. Shall save. Shall save. Again, I'm reminded of the confidence that's in those two words. Praise God, there's no failure in Christ. Can you not see Joseph there, knowing that the law said that Mary should be stoned? And he said, right, he's a just man. He loves his bride. He doesn't want her to be made a public example. And here he's brought to face with a pregnant woman. And he knows that the great tribulation that will follow that. And he's wrestling in his mind what to do. And I'm sure there's unrest. And the angel comes down and grabs him and says, Joseph, the thing done unto you is from God. It's born from heaven above. God need not be afraid, Joseph. He will be the Savior of the world. I think when the angel made the announcement, you got to remember, he knew Jesus before Joseph did. He was used to singing and used to praising. He had known the very second person in the Trinity, God the Son. He knew the great power. And now he knew that God the Son was going to be formed into the womb of that mother. And he knew who was going to come forth. And he knew the power of that. And in confidence, he said, he shall save his people from their sin. I look at that confidence. Listen to what Paul told us. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Pastor, I just feel that salvation I got to have something to do. There's got to be some kind of merit upon me. I've got, my friend, all of the merit is found in him. In him, not in us. Pastor, could he really save me? We were talking about school last night. They asked me, after talking to me for a little while, if I even went to school. I told them I did go to school. I said, I got my degree and I ran out of there. I hated book reports. If you hate book reports, you love God. I'm telling you, God loves you. I hated book reports. My dad would lock me in my room and make me read the book. I played baseball, went fishing. I didn't want to read a stupid book. My book report was usually a summary of the back cover with a lot of adjectives in between that sucker. My book report was usually the last chapter, just grandiose, beyond measure. I missed my calling. I should have been a novel writer. Let me tell you, sit here and think, is Jesus enough? If I read you the back of the book, you'll read about a time in heaven where the redeemed will gather, where those that have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus, and listen to what John wrote. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. There we will stand, totally secure in Christ, redeemed forever. John said, I've seen it. And it's true. All he shall save. There's confidence and there's completion. I'm eternally secure. Never to be lost. I think about that, the great power of salvation. I want you to know something. Salvation to us is free, but it costs. It costs God the Son everything he had. It bankrupt heaven. You read Isaiah chapter 53. You read those verses 6 to 8, 8 to 10. You read about the suffering that the Lord Jesus went to. That thing's not just a mural on the wall. It was a Roman crucifixion. Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, you and I, he endured cross. Born to die, that man might live. You know, you and I weren't born to die. We say, well, we will die. Yeah, we will die because sin, but we were never born to die. Only Jesus was the only man ever born with the purpose of dying. He was born on this earth to die on the cross. Adam was created on this earth to live forever. I was born in sin and I will die. But man, the God man, was born to die that I might live. And he paid a great cost for our salvation. You have the person of salvation. You have the power. Would you see the prize? Prize of salvation. Shall save his people. Shall save his people. I can't sing. I would to God I could sing. So I got to read. Prize of salvation is found in the love of God toward people. Songwriter said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. My God, I think about the prize of salvation was me. Me. I was lost in sin. I was on his mind. And he left heaven's glory for me, and he did for you also. Love of God. When I think about the prize of salvation, I can't help but think about the longing. The longing in God's heart for you. Listen to the call. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Listen, listen. God's not against you. God loves you. God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. Had you been the only person born, Jesus Christ would have come for you. You need not know. We would write it on the sky. Even God himself couldn't describe his love, so he put for God so. I love you so. How much is so much? I don't know, but it's so much. The heart of God. There's a person, there's a power, there's a prize. Finally, there's a preciousness of salvation. Would you look at the last part of the verse? From their sins. From their sin. Say, Pastor, what is sin? Sin is a disobedience toward God. When I think about from their sin, I can't help but think about my guilt. We don't like guilt. Some of you spend a lot of money talking to somebody about guilt. Some of you carry guilt heavy, and it drives, and it takes its toll, and it's a nasty monster. But when I think about, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I find in that sin my guilt. I think about guilty and vile as I could be. I think about the fact that I never measure up to God's holiness. And the songwriter said, there's no hope. But he went on to write this. When every ray of light had fled. Oh, glorious day, raising my soul from out the dead. Love found a way to redeem my soul, to make me whole. Love sent my Lord to the cross of shame. Oh, praise his name. Love found a way. I stood one day in my guilt, and then somebody introduced me to the grace of God. To the grace of God found in the person of the Lord Jesus. I read in the Bible where it says, for as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners. That's why I'm a sinner, because I was born in sin, born with a sinful nature. But by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. Listen, I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. And I thank God that I have a church. And I thank God I enjoy the music of heaven. And I thank God for the word of God. But when you boil it down, praise God, I never stand in judgment of my sin. It was judged at Golgotha's skull. It was judged on that cross. He will never look at me and judge me for my sin. I have received the grace of God because Jesus and took my sin and my death and my hell. My God, there's person of salvation, power of salvation, the prize of it. But the preciousness is my sins are gone. Pastor, how powerful is that? I thought, how do I explain to somebody what your sin being gone could do for you? So I'm going to tell you a story. I did good. It's only 12 o'clock. What can the power of my sin And understanding that my sin is washed away in the blood of Christ, how does that move a man to enjoy Christmas? How does that move a man to enjoy life? In the mid-1800s, there was a man born. Young man, gifted young man, a lawyer. Absolutely blessed of God, loved God. Lived in the thriving city of Chicago. Some of you have been there, and it's a marvelous city. Married, had four daughters. Working there in the church and building his business, and God just blessing him and everything going great. 1871, the great fire of Chicago came. None of you were there. I was going to say some of you were there, but none of you were there. Burned the city. People lost their lives. They lost their fortunes. Chaos. You read about it. It's an unbelievable historical setting there. Horatio Spafford lost almost everything he had. His buildings burned to the ground. His finances were all but destroyed. He had his life, his wife, his four children, and he had the Lord. Years it took to build that city. In 1873, they still had not finished the schools. Horatio had four girls, and he wanted them to be educated. So he booked passage on a ship called the Villa de Havre. And he was going to send them back to England. All of them were going to go, and they were going to be enrolled in a schooling. At the last moment, as they were getting ready to get on the ship, a business interruption prevented Horatio from getting on. He takes his family down, the story goes, and kisses his lovely wife and hugs his children and places his family on this ship and says what you and I have said a zillion times. I'll catch one later and I'll see you. Days go by. News begins to rustle in. There was an accident. A horrific accident. Pretty soon the story says that Horatio Spafford receives a telegram with these words, "Saved alone." Sent to him by his wife. On that great sea and on that great voyage, he lost his four precious daughters. The unbelievable hardship of that weighed on his mind. Can you imagine? Some of you have lost children. Something you never get over. Horatio, knowing only what he knew to do, got alone with God. God began to encourage his heart. God began to take his thoughts and turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Horatio took a pen out and wrote these words: "When peace, like a river, tendeth my way." Peace, Pastor? All hell is broke loose. The city is burned. His children are dead. His finances are gone. Peace? What is this peace? Listen to what he said. "Peace like a river tendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." God, the very peace of his soul, the fact that he was redeemed, the fact that his sin was cleansed and he was made whole by the person of Christ, sustained him. How do you know that? Listen, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. If you know Christ as your Savior today, your heart begins to leap with joy, for we know that our soul is secure, forever redeemed by the person of Christ. If you're not here, don't know Christ, let me explain something. That brings to our heart hope. That brings to our heart anticipation. That brings to us eagerness about life. Listen to what he said. "And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumps shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, God, if it's not soon, even so, it's well with my soul. It's well with my soul." We can celebrate all we want about Christmas. I have two questions for you. Is it well with your soul? Do you have peace with God through the person of Jesus Christ? My friend, he's a glorious Savior. no friend greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Person of our salvation. Power of our salvation. Prize of it. Praise God, the preciousness. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed, please? How many would say in the room, Pastor, it's well with my soul. I have peace with God. I know the Lord Jesus. I know the peace that Horatio talks about. I love Him with all my heart. He lives in my heart. Would you let it be known by the testimony of the raising of your hand with your heads bowed, eyes closed? Let me see who knows the Lord. God bless you. Put them down if you would. Pastor, I'm here today and I don't know Christ as my Savior. Not everybody could raise their hand. I don't have peace. I look about this time of year and there's no peace in my heart. There's guilt. There's hardship. You're telling me that there's a way to be free from that? My friend, the way to freedom is found in the Lord Jesus. Pastor, I don't know a lot about the Bible. Pastor, I'm not a good person. Pastor, let me tell you something. He knows all that and He loves you. All you have to do to be willing to turn and come to Him. He'll save you. Save me, Pastor, completely, totally, forever. What would I even do, Pastor? In a moment, we're going to sing page 342, Just As I Am. It's our invitation. If you would have enough courage to simply walk down and take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I don't know, but I want to be saved. God, I want to be saved today, Pastor. I'll have a man if you're a man and a lady if you're a lady. Take the Bible, show you how you could come to know Christ today, today, for all eternity. You're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I'd like to be. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not saved, but I'd like to be. And here's my hand. Don't embarrass me. Just pray for me. If you want me to pray for you, just lift it. Lift it so I can see it. Sure. Are there others? Sure. Christian, is it well with you today? Is it well with you today? May I remind you, He's a marvelous Lord. Never to forsake you. Pastor, sea billows are rolling in my life. Oh, I know the maker of the sea. Oh, He walked on them. Not leave you. Maybe there's a need in your heart. And you'd want to come and take a moment to pray. You come, maybe an unsaved person would follow. Father God, we thank you so much. Person of our salvation, power, that we're the prize. God, preciousness of it. Joseph, call him Jesus. God is Savior. Joseph, he's going to save his people from their sin. I join with our singer today. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Have your way now, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.